will be coming out of hospital today. She's had her operation, and it sounds that all's gone well. And then I have a bit of sad news too. Most of you will have met Christine Legg's mum, Marjorie, when she's come across at various times when Christine was here. Marjorie has passed away. So she is now at peace and with her Lord. But I'm sure Christine would appreciate our prayers for her and Brian and the wider family. Birthdays. Margaret, would you send our best wishes to Melanie? It's her birthday this week on Wednesday. And obviously she's normally at All Together Worships, isn't she? But she won't be here next week because it's circuit service. So do send her our love. And because we won't be here next week, I thought we would acknowledge Mike's birthday, which we would have been doing next Sunday because it's the 28th, and also Diane, whose birthday is the 29th, but she's not here. But I think we'll sing to Mike. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive one. So if you could say the words that are in yellow. We come to you today with burdens and cares in our hearts. Lord, take these burdens from us and ease our souls. We come to you today with fear and uncertainty about the future. Lord, calm our fears and help us to place our trust in you. Come, let us worship God whose love is abundant. Let us praise the God of our salvation, who watches over us always. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts today to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen, not only with our ears, but with our spirits, for your words of compassion and healing. Enable us to become more faithful disciples for you, for we ask this in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to sing two songs, Praise Him, You Heavens, and Lord, You Have My Heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Chapter 22, verses 23 to 28. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember to turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For the dominions belong to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Praise be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from Luke 8:26 to 39. the healing of a demon-possessed man. They sail to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out from sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go out with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Thanks be to God for his word. Hallelujah.
Alas, we are told that these events did take place some 2,000 years ago. And to coin a popular phrase that everybody seems to be using these days, it is what it is. And if we're prepared to accept that and go with it, then what we actually have is a beautiful story of redemption and transformation. But it also presents us with some challenges still today. I don't know if that... Shall we switch to that one, do you think? I'm not sure if people can hear with the loop. Is that better? Can you hear with that one? Anyway, I'll say we have this beautiful story of transformation and redemption and a number of challenges. I mean, firstly, although we can't locate the exact place where these things happened, the fact that the locals kept pigs tells us that Jesus was in Gentile territory for sure. For anyone who's not sure, Gentile is someone who's not Jewish. But it tells us, this story, that Jesus' saving power reaches beyond the national boundaries of his own culture and religion. Ordinarily, it was against the law for someone of the Jewish faith to visit or associate with a Gentile. So by meeting with a Gentile, and not just any Gentile, but a Gentile who was demon-possessed and who lived in a graveyard, effectively, Jesus would have become ritually unclean in the eyes of his own community. And yet Jesus will not be bound by tradition or convention or superstition. Rather, we see in this story Jesus, who is willing to cross every imaginable boundary, be it geographical, religious, racial, cultural, gender, or spiritual, to reach and to heal those who were vulnerable and marginalized and in need of liberating. So the first challenge for us today is, are we prepared to do the same? Are we prepared to cross geographical, religious, racial, cultural, gender, or spiritual boundaries to reach one in need of God's grace? In the words of Ashley Cooper, and this has stayed with me, he's the principal of Cliff College. He preached at St. Helier a little while back, and he said, if we are not prepared to cross those boundaries like Jesus did, then we have no business to be calling ourselves Jesus' people. But moving on to the business of the demons, such spirits or powers, they were understood to be abundant across the cultures of the ancient world. But even if we struggle to relate to that today, if we think of the demons in that man as causing him to behave in a self-destructive manner, if we think of them as causing him to feel trapped with no way out, or if we think of them as causing him to have to live apart from his family and community, then sadly we can probably all think of someone who has had similar demons, if not ourselves at some point or other in our lives. Certainly if we define demons as those forces which have captured us and prevented us from becoming what God intended us to be, then we are surrounded by and possessed by as many demons as those whom Jesus encountered in this story. And our demons can be of many kinds, can't they? Sadly, debilitating illness can trap us and make us feel isolated. Destructive habits, addiction, materialism, and so on. When I was in my probationary period of ministry, I had to go to Methodist Church House for a training day. And as part of that, we had to go to the Shard, where there was an exhibition on addiction. And it made me realise that addiction can come in all forms. And we probably all immediately would think of drugs or alcohol, but pornography can become an addiction. Food can become an addiction. And a big one that people don't often realise, social media and Facebook and the like. People can get totally addicted on that, can't they? And it can be very harmful for us. So there are plenty of destructive and evil forces in our world today that can cause us harm and can at worst imprison us and separate us from our family and friends and our community. And sadly, as we heard, this is what happened to that poor man. We're told that he lived in among the tombs, away from the rest of the community, and he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard. And the reason for that is that at that time, I'm told by Nola, who learnt this when she was in Israel, that people believed if a demon came out of one person, that it would enter another. And so demoniacs were treated the same as lepers. They were put outside of the village or town in a bid to keep the community safe. So as we said, this poor chap lived an isolated life among the tombs, chained up, wearing no clothes. These demons had possessed him to the extent that he had lost sight of who he really was. He was robbed of his dignity, and he'd lost his very identity to the extent that he was now calling himself Legion. We're told that wasn't his proper name, but he now referred to himself as Legion. And Legion at that time was the name for a Roman army unit of about 6,000 soldiers, which gives us an indication of how overwhelmed he felt by the situation in which he found himself. His body, mind, and spirit had been completely invaded and overrun by these demons. And yet, no matter how much control they had over this poor man, no matter how powerful they might have been, they themselves knew that Jesus' power was greater. When confronted with Jesus, they fell before him, and they recognized him immediately as the Son of the Most High God. And they knew that there was no greater power, no higher power in the whole of creation. They knew that they were no match for Jesus, who just hours before had calmed the storm by commanding the wind and the waves to obey him. So this poor man was so totally possessed that he would never have been able to free himself. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot free. We can only be redeemed. And Jesus is the one to save us and redeem us. Jesus is the only one, the Son of the Most High God. Only Jesus has the power to save this man and to save us. Now, in preparing for this morning, I looked up the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was surprised to learn that the 12 steps actually come from, they describe the experiences of the first members of the society who met together. And here's what they say in their first three steps. We admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That's the first step. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We made a decision, number three, to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So these people too had come to recognize that they could not save themselves, that only God could save them. And what a wonderful image of salvation and restoration we find in our story today. We're told that when the people came to see Jesus to see what had happened, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet and in his right mind. Verse 36 tells us, those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And indeed he had been cured, but in the original Greek, the word that is translated as cured means so much more. The Greek word means saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. The man had not only been delivered from the demon and not only cured of his terrible burden, but had been altogether healed and saved. But what about the business of the pigs? Well, as I said earlier, there was a common belief in that culture that if the demon left one being, then it would have to enter another. If the people didn't know what had happened to the demons, even though this man was now in his right mind, he would still have had little chance of being accepted back into the community. The people would have wanted to know what had happened to the demons if he was to stand any chance of resuming his previous life. And so Jesus allowed the demons to enter the pigs. But even though the people had witnessed an amazing transformation in this man, even though they knew that the demons had been drowned with the pigs, we are told that they were overcome with great fear and they asked Jesus to leave them. And I wonder what that fear was about. I mean, obviously, they weren't going to be happy at what had happened to their pigs. And admittedly, for some, it would have been their livelihood. But sometimes, for people on the margins of our society to be liberated and restored to the community, that community or society has to make sacrifices. We may have to give things up. We may have to accept a change in the way we do things. Those who can afford it, for example, people on high incomes, maybe they may have to pay a couple of pence more in the pound in income tax to provide for others. People might have to share the land. They may have to give up their dream of an £11 million house just so that others can have a modest home to live in. And President Zelensky said again this week, Russia would not have the means to carry on fighting this war if people would stop buying their oil and their gas. And I guess it depends on what sacrifices people are prepared to make and whether or not we see every human being as being created in the image of God and therefore of intrinsic value and worth. But carrying on the political theme, it says a lot about a society, doesn't it, when a society pays people more to look after their money than it does to look after their sick and their elderly. And I think Jesus would probably have something to say about that if he were here today, and he'd probably be no more welcome today in some quarters than he was back then in Gerasene. But anyway, moving swiftly on from the politics, I've got the elections coming up next week. But moving swiftly on, the final challenge for us perhaps is the biggest one of all. We're told that the man begged Jesus to let him go with him, didn't he? But Jesus wasn't having it. He said, no, you are to return home and you are to tell people how much God has done for you. And that was no mean feat, was it? This man's healing had cost this community a herd of pigs to start with. But not only that, people would probably have been very sceptical and suspicious of him still. So that community would have been a very difficult mission field for that man to deliver his message, I think. And I'm going to be honest, I hope it doesn't shock people, but I don't know if you're the same as me, but I'm ashamed to say that sometimes I find it easier to tell people what God has done for me to a stranger at an airport or on a train journey than I do to tell someone in my own family. But nonetheless, Jesus calls us to tell everyone, how much God has done for us, because there is no more powerful testimony than that of someone whose life has been transformed. And this is what it says on the Alcoholics Anonymous website. It says, the relative success of the AA program seems to be due to the fact that an alcoholic who no longer drinks has an exceptional faculty for reaching and helping an uncontrolled drinker. In the simplest form, the AA program operates when a recovered alcoholic passes along the story of his or her own problem drinking, describes the sobriety he or she has found in AA, and invites the newcomer to join the informal fellowship. So we're called, aren't we, to go and tell what Jesus has done for us. We're not called to convert people. Notice Jesus doesn't say go and convert people, because only the Holy Spirit can convert people, but we are called to go and tell what Jesus, what God has done for us in our lives. So with that in mind, and in the light of all that God has done for us, to the extent that he did not withhold his only son in order to heal us, to deliver us, to save us, and to make us whole, and to give us life in all its fullness and the best life ever, I wonder who we are going to tell today how much God has done for us. Amen. And now then, as Ruth said on that the music practice,
the response, when I say the Lord hears our prayer, can you respond with thanks be to God? The Lord hears our prayer, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we pray for all who want to know you and to trust you, but who are confused by the hurt and pain in your world. We pray for those who genuinely find the life of faith difficult because of the suffering they see all around them. We lift to you areas of conflict in your world, Ukraine, Afghanistan, Syria, Israel, to name but a few, and pray that your peace would reign here and elsewhere. We also pray for those places affected by different climate issues, India and Bangladesh with the heavy monsoons and flooding, and Southern Europe with the high temperatures. Pray, Lord, that governments worldwide could agree on a strategy for tackling climate change. Father, open, we pray, not only hearts to the hurts of their neighbours, but also eyes to the pain in your heart and the love of the Lord. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for those who are ill, those who will never recover, and those who wait with them. And we pray for those grieving the loss of a loved one, and this morning lift to you especially the families and friends of Tim Neal and Marjorie Legg. We pray for those overwhelmed by the burden of caring for sick or elderly relatives, those who seek healing of the body, and those in need of healing of their minds, those who have lost their memory and live out of touch with real life, and their loved ones trying to cope with the situation of not being recognised. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for healing for those whose lives and the lives of their families are being ruined by addiction to drugs, alcohol, smoking, gambling, or one of the many other addictions. For those seeking help to break addiction and those who are still denying the reality of their habit. We pray for healing for those whose lives are in the grip of superstition or ruined through abuse or misuse of their sexuality. Bring healing, we pray, and wholeness and light of Christ into the dark corners of lives. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for our society, where your people receive little discipline or guidance, where the old are ignored or neglected. We pray for our permissive society, which wants freedom to do what it pleases and pays the price in broken lives, broken homes, and broken promises. We pray for healing for our nation as it turns its back on the worship of God, for those who find they can't cope with the lack of direction and real meaning and the empty existence that is the natural consequence of living life without Christ. And Father, we pray for our island and the elections taking place this week. We pray that the right people will be elected to produce a cohesive government who can lead us with integrity. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for those directly concerned for our health and healing, doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, radiographers, and the many other professionals who look after our health and well-being. For all who minister to those who are ill in the community, through surgeries, clinics, and home care, for all ancillary staff and those involved in research, give all who care for others a true sense of their own value, we pray, and a knowledge of the importance of the work they do. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Now be a time of open prayer where you can pray out loud or in your hearts for matters that you wish.